麦昆特之音服务源于聆听，诸位尊敬的奉献者们晚上好，今天是2011年2月7日星期一晚上7点，我们一如既往的请到了尊敬的 Giridharaswami 来给我们讲第三堂吧 Krishna book 的这个里面的 Krishna 的故事。现在我们开始。 OK, Maharaj。
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today is our third class on the Krishna book.
今天呢是我们讲 Krishna book 的第三堂课。
And we are continuing with chapter one.
我们接着第一章讲。
The advent of Lord Krishna.
就是 Krishna 的显现。
So this is part two.
这是第一章的第二部分。
But before we start, we will chant the invocation prayer.
现在开始呢，我们再先唱诵一段祷文。
As I mentioned before, this is a prayer that you can learn. And until you learn it, you can perhaps read it from the Krishna book. And follow along with me.
就像以前我提到的，大家呢可以跟 Maharaj 一起来学。那么在学会之前呢，我们可以看着 Krishna book 来一边跟着读，以后呢就可以跟着一起讲，一起念了。
Krishna 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 Hey Krishna 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 Hey Krishna 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 Rakshamam Krishna 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 Vahimam Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Pahimam O Lord Krishna, please protect me and maintain me.
亲爱的主 Krishna, 请保护我维系我。
O Lord Ram, descendant of King Raghu, please protect me.
亲爱的主 Rama, 拉库王朝的后裔啊，请保护我。
O Krishna, O Keshava, killer of the Keshi demon, please maintain me.
Krishna, Keshava, Keshi 魔的屠者啊，请维系我。
So now, back to our story.
现在我回到故事上面。
Now Vasudeva is continuing his preaching to Kamsa.
Vasudeva 呢继续向 Kamsa 传教。
And as I said last class, it is very valuable for us to study and learn these arguments for our presentation of the philosophy.
那么像我上一周讲的，上节课讲到的，要学会这个哲学，然后跟别人去传播 Krishna 哲学的话，对他 Vasudeva 讲的这一话，我们要学习的这一点非常重要。
Vasudeva says, the particular body offered to us.Specified by our mental condition at the time of death.
Vasudeva 说，那么在我们死亡的时候，我们的心态决定了我们将会得到一个特定的躯体。
The luminous planets like the sun, the moon, or stars reflect themselves in pools such as water, oil, or ghee.
很多的这个星球，比如说太阳、月亮或者星星。他们可以折射自己，就好像，这个水还有这个 key 一样，就在折射。
All right, are we clear now?
A little better.
Okay, let us try.
Okay.
The moon reflects itself on water, and the moving water makes the moon also appear to be moving.
月亮它会在这个水中会现出它的倒影，然后这个水呢就会显出月亮的形象。
Similarly, by mental mixture, the living entity attains different kinds of bodies, although he has no connection with these bodies.
同样的，因为这个生物体的心态，它就跟这个不同的躯体混在了一起。虽然说 它其实跟这个躯体没有关系。
But on the account of the illusion of Maya, living entity falsely believes that he belongs to a particular type of body.
但是呢，因为这个 Mahamaya 的这个虚幻能量，所以不同的生物体才就得到了不同种类的躯体。
That is conditioned life.
这就是受条件限制的生命。
Suppose a living entity is now in the human form of life. He thinks he belongs to the human community or a particular country or place.
那么那些限制在人类形象这些生物体呢，他就认为自己是属于某个国家或者某个身体里面的人。
He identifies himself in that way and falsely prepares for another body which is not required by him.
那么他就这样错误地认同于自己，并且错误地去准备自己进入下一步，就是为将来做准备的这个心态。
So, I have a comment on this point.
那么就这一点呢，我有一个评述。
And that is that even though we're devotees, we are all still so bodily conscious.
也就是说，虽然说我们都是奉献者，但是呢，我们在很大程度上仍然处在躯体的知觉当中。
Whether we have American bodies, Chinese bodies, Indian bodies, African bodies, or whatever body.
不管我们是有美国人的躯体、中国人的躯体、印度人还是非洲人的躯体，任何的躯体。
We are generally so attached to that body.
通常情况下，我们都非常的依附这个躯体。
Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he preached so much about not being the material body.
所以呢，释迦牟尼佛就非常强烈地强调，我们不是这个物质躯体。
So many times he said, "You are a pure spirit soul."
他很多次都说，你是一个纯粹的灵魂。
So Prabhupada was so emphatic about this point that in his preaching with other persons, unless the person understood this point, he would not go further.
所以呢，帕帕就非常非常强调这点，在他跟别人传教的时候，除非别人已经明白了这个道理，否则的话，他都不会再进一步的讲更深的哲学。
We have heard of many of Srila Prabhupada's recorded lectures, and also it's recorded in writing, that he would be talking with many kinds of people, but unless they understood that they weren't the bodies, you know, he wouldn't go further. He would just keep making that point again and again and again.
那我们很多次听到了帕帕的讲课的录音，或者说书面的他的讲课，我们都会注意到，帕帕在跟很多很多不同的人传教的时候，除非那些人已经完全明白了我不是这个躯体这个道理，否则的话，他就会一遍又一遍，一遍又一遍的重复这一点。
So this is a good guide on how to preach systematically.
所以呢，这其实是很好的指导我们要怎么样系统的传教。
Step by step.
要一步一步来，循序渐进。
When the person understands A, then you can go to B.
当一个人已经理解了 A, 你才能继续跟他讲 B.
When he's understood B, then you can go to C.
他明白了 B 之后呢，你可以讲 C.
So, for example, we learned how to.Gradually present the philosophy in such a way that other people will be able to smoke.
所以呢，我们就要学习这样慢慢慢慢的，逐渐逐渐跟别人呈现这门哲学，让他们能够理解。
So now again, we'll go back to Vasudeva's preaching.
现在我们再回到 Vasudeva 的传教当中。
Desires and mental inclinations are the cause.Of different kinds of bodies.
I missed the first part.
Such desires and mental inclinations are the cause of different kinds of bodies.
这种欲望或者不同的心态是 导致我们接受不同躯体的原因。
The covering influence of material nature is so strong that the living entity is satisfied in whatever body he gets.
这个物质能量对物质自然对人对生物体的覆盖是那么的强烈，以至于每一个生物体对它现有的躯体都很满意。
In fact, he identifies with that body with great pleasure.
事实上，他会很高兴的就把自己认同于这具躯体。
Now, I can't help but think of this example that once Lord Indra was cursed to become a hog.
现在呢，我就禁不住想起了这个主鹰爪被诅咒成一头猪的这个例子。
As we know, Lord Indra is the king of the heavenly planets.
我们知道主鹰爪它其实是天堂的国王，天堂之王。
So even though he's in the topmost position of the heavenly demigods, once he was cursed to take birth as a hog.
虽然说他作为天帝这样一个非常杰出的地位，但是呢，有一次他就被诅咒变成了一头猪。
And that on this particular planet, the Earth planet.
而且呢，是这个地球上的猪。
So he took his birth as a hog.
所以他就变成了一头猪。
He eventually got mate.
Eventually?
And they eventually had many children.
然后呢，他就后来他们他生了很多孩猪孩子。
And Lord Indra, in the form of this hog, became very attached to his wife and to his children.
那么主鹰爪处在这个猪的躯体里面呢，他就变得非常非常依附他的妻子和他的猪孩子。
He became attached to his broken down home.
他而且非常依附他的这个猪的躯体，这个他的家。
He became attached to the mud that he used to roll in.
他很依附他在里面打滚的这个泥土。
He became attached to, the, you know, very kind of low-grade food that he was offered.
而且他又非他还非常依附别人给他这些非常低等的食物。
And he thought that he was very happy.
他以为自己开心的不得了。
Even a dog.
就连这条猪他就这么高，他就这么开心。
So finally, Lord Brahma, seeing that vacancy, of the king of the heavenly planets, he came.To this earth where Lord Indra was residing as a hog.
那么后来呢，主 Brahma 看到这个天那个天堂里面就这个天地的位置空着，所以呢他就跑到这个地球上来找来这个主 Indra 居住的地方来找他。
And he asked Lord Indra, "What are you doing?"
他就问主 Indra, 你在干嘛呢
？You're in the body of a hog.
你居然在一个猪的躯体里面。
You're rolling in the mud.
你还在这个泥土里面打滚。
You're the king of the heavenly planets.
你可是天堂星球之王啊。
And Lord Indra, in the form of that hog, answered, "My dear sir, you don't understand that I have a very important job to do here."
那么这个主鹰爪处在这个猪的躯体里面，就是说，亲爱的先生啊。你根本就没法明白，我在这里可以很重要的工作要做。
I have to take care of my wife.
我要照顾我的妻子。
I have to take care of my children.
我还要照顾我的孩子。
I have to take care of my home.
我还要照顾我的家庭。
I have so many important things to do.
我有那么多重要的事情要做。
So Lord Brahma tried to reason with him.
那么这个主 Brahma 呢就开始跟他理论。
But Lord Indra was too conditioned by that hog body.
但是呢，这个主 Indra 处在这个猪的躯体当中，他就被限制的很深。
He could not understand.
他没法明白。
So finally, the only thing that Brahma could do was, by his mystic power, to arrange to cut off the heads of this so-called wife and children of Lord Indra.
那么最后呢，主 Brahma 他就不得不使用自己的玄秘力量，把这个 Indra 这个猪的他的这个猪妻子、猪孩子的头给他砍掉了。
And this shocked Lord Indra.
这让主 Indra 大吃一惊。
And it was so shocking that he finally realized that, yes, I'm Lord Indra. What am I doing in this hog body?
最后他就终于在这个震惊当中他意识到啊，是啊，我是天帝 Indra， 我在这个猪的躯体里面做什么。
So in this way, Lord Brahma was able to convince Lord Indra to again take his post in the heavenly planets.
所以呢，主 Brahma 终于说服了这个主 Indra 再次回到天堂星球。
So the obvious point of the story is that no matter what kind of body we get, in whatever form of life, we become attached to it.
这里所要讲就是说呢，我们不管处在什么样的躯体当中，处在什么样的生活条件下，我们都很容易依附我们的生活。
And it is so difficult to give up.
要摆脱这份依附是那么的困难。
So, we should be careful and utilize our every moment in advancing in Krishna consciousness so we can transcend this bodily concept of life.
所以呢，我们应该很好地运用我们的人类生命，去修习 Krishna 知觉，最终能够超越这个躯体概念。
So at our last moment, we'll be able to think of Krishna and return to him.
这样呢，在那最后一刻到来的时候，我们就能够想到 Krishna， 并且回到他的身边。
Where we can take an eternal body full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss.
这样呢，我们就能够接受这个具有永恒的知识和极乐的这个永恒的躯体当中。
And live eternally.Associating with Krishna.
并且永恒地居住在那儿，并且居住在灵世界与 Krishna 联姻。
So, Vasudeva continues, therefore, I beg you not to become overwhelmed by the dictation of your mind and body.
所以 Vasudeva 就继续说，因此呢，我祈求你千万不要被这个世俗的心意和躯体所控制。
Thus, Vasudeva requested Kamsa not to be envious of Devaki.
那么这个 Vasudeva 就这样，他就请求 Kamsa 不要嫉妒 Devaki.
One should not be envious of anyone, because envy is a cause of fear, both in this world and in the next.
一个人不应该嫉妒任何的人，因为嫉妒它就会导致一个人在今生和下世都充满恐惧。
When one is before Yamaraj, the Lord of Punishment after death.
当人在死后站在这个 Yamaraj， 也就是这个惩罚之王的面前的时候。
Vasudeva appealed to Kamsa on behalf of Devaki, stating that she was his younger sister.
Vasudeva 就告诉这个 Kamsa， 这个 Devaki 其实是他的妹妹。
He also appealed at the auspicious time of her marriage.
而且他也说，这是在他的吉祥的婚礼这一刻，他就做出这样的呼吁。
A younger sister or brother is supposed to be protected as one's child.
一个兄长应该保护自己的妹妹，就好像父母保护自己的孩子一样。
The position is overall so delicate, Vasudeva reasoned, that if you kill her, it will go against your high reputation.
Vasudeva 跟他辩论说，他说。这个处境就太棘手了。如果你杀了他的话，就会玷污你的这个崇高的地位。
Vasudeva tried his best to pacify Kamsa by good instruction and philosophical reasoning.
这个 Vasudeva 就尽量的用他的这个好的理论以及很好的哲学来说服 Kamsa.
But Kamsa was not to be pacified.Because his association was demoniac.
但是呢，因为 Kamsa 他的 他完全是跟这个恶魔品印在联谊，所以呢他根本就听不进 Vasudeva 的说话。
Because of demoniac association, Kamsa was a demon, although he was born in a very high royal family.
虽然说 Kamsa 出生在一个很高等的皇室家族，但因为他得到全是恶魔品级的恶魔性的联姻，所以呢他也充满了恶魔品性。
But a demon never cares for good instruction.
一个恶魔他永远也不根本就不在乎好的训斥。
So we see thatAssociation is a very important key to determining just where our consciousness will go.
所以呢，我们就可以看到这个联谊非常的重要，它可以关它至关重要的决定着我们的知觉将会去向何方。
The association we keep determines how our consciousness develops.
联谊它可以决定我们的知觉如何发展。
Now, there's one example that I found of Srila Prabhupada answering a question of one devotee.
那我看到这样一个例子，Srila Prabhupada他在回答一个奉献者的问题。
So the devotee asked, is desire due to material contamination?
这个奉献者就问他的愿望是因为这个物质的污染。
And Srila Prabhupada answers, yes.
Srila Prabhupada就回答说是的。
Desire is according to association.
欲望它是根据我们的联谊而来的。
You mix with drunkards, you desire to drink.
如果你跟醉鬼联谊的话，你就会想要喝酒。
And you mix with us, you desire to worship Krishna.
如果你跟我们联谊的话，你就会想要去服务崇拜 Krishna.
Therefore, we are giving you facility.
所以呢，现在我们在给你提供条件。
You associate with us and desire only Krishna.
如果你跟我们联谊，你的欲望就想你就会只会去欲望服务 Krishna.
That's all.
就这样。
So, we see that the Prabhupada is very clear that if we associate with low-class people, we will become low-class, and if we associate with high-class persons, we will become high-class.
所以呢，你看 Prabhupada 的这个举的这个要点就非常的再明显不过了。也就是说，我们跟低等的人联谊，我们就会变成低等人；而我们如果跟高等人联谊的话，我们就会变成高等人。
That's why it's so important to associate with advanced devotees.
这就是为什么说跟高级的奉献者联谊非常重要的原因。
Because by associating with advanced devotees, their consciousness and their presence will elevate our consciousness.
因为如果我们跟高级奉献者联谊的话，他们的知觉、他们的存在都会提升我们的知觉。
Just by association.
只是通过联谊。
We see this in the case of Narada Muni.
我们这在 Narada Muni 也能看得出来。
He was a simple person.
他本来是一个非常简单的人。
He was simply the son of a maidservant.
就是一个女仆的儿子。
But due to his association with the Bhakti Vedantas who came to stay at his home for 4 months,He became very, very advanced.
但是呢，就是因为这些 Bhakti Siddhanta 就是这些高级的奉献者，他们来到他家里住了4个月，然后他就灵修取得了巨大的进步。
And he became a great saint.
他就变成了伟大的圣人。
Okay, now let's go back to Vasudeva. He says that.Such a person is just like a determined thief. One can give him moral instruction, but it will not be effective.
现在我们再回到 Vasudeva, 他继续说，他就好像一个人就好像是一个有非常坚决的贼一样，一个人可以，别人可以给他很好的训示，但他根本，但都没有任何的效果。
That is a difference between demigods and demons.
这就是半神人和恶魔的区别。
Those who can accept good instruction and live their lives accordingly are called demigods. And those who are unable to take such good instruction are called demons.
那些能够接受好的训示并且相应的生活的人呢，就被称是半神人，而那些不能接受这些、不能听这些好的训示的人，就被称为是恶魔。
So failing his attempt to pacify Kamsa, Vasudeva wondered how he would protect his wife Devaki.
所以呢，这个 Vasudeva 看到自己很难说服 Kamsa， 他就在想到底怎么样才能够保护他的妻子 Devaki。
When there is danger, an intelligent person should try to avoid the dangerous position as far as possible.
当处在危险之中的时候，一个有智慧的人，他应该尽可能的避开这种危险。
But if one fails, there is no fault on his part.
但如果一个人失败了，那他其实他也没有真正的失败，也没有错误。
One should try his best to execute his duties, but if...The attempt fails, he is not at fault.
一个人应该尽可能地去履行自己的职责，但如果他的失败努力了，这不是他的错。
Vasudev thought, for the present, let me save the life of Devaki, then later on, if there are children, I shall see how to save them.
Vasudev 就在想，现在呢，我先尽可能地去保护我的妻子 Devaki， 那以后他生了孩子之后再说。
He further thought, if in the future I get a child who can kill Kamsa, as he is thinking, then both Devaki and the child will be saved.
那么他就在想，如果以后我的孩子真的能够杀死这 Kamsa 的话，那么我的妻子和孩子也就都得救了。
But now, somehow or other, let me save the life of Devaki.
但是现在呢，让我先把我妻子 Devaki 救了再说。
So Vasudev says that there is no certainty how a living entity contacts a certain type of body, just as there is no certainty how a blazing fire comes in contact with a certain type of wood in the forest.
所以 Vasudev 就说，就好像这个火，你这个森林，不是很肯定能够混在一起一样，这个躯体和灵魂也不一定，并不能肯定一定能混在一起。
Therefore, a living entity may be very careful in executing his duties, but it is still very difficult for him to know what type of body he is going to get in the next life.
所以呢，虽然说生物体它会从事不同的活动，但它还是很难明白自己到底会得到什么样的躯体。
So, at this point, Srila Prabhupada mentions the example of Maharaj Bharat.
那么就在这一点呢，释迦牟尼佛就提到了 Mahabharat 的这个例子。
Maharaj Bharat。
Maharaj Bharat。
Meaning that there's a pastime in the Bhagavatam of Bharat Maharaj。
在《训练佛教瓦谈》里面有一个Bharat Maharaj 的这个故事，夏娃时光。
So Bharat Maharaj was performing austerities, and he was meditating in the forest.
那巴拉斯摩哈拉吉他在做一些苦行，在森林里面冥想。
And he had reached the level of bhava, just below prema.
他已经达到了 bhava 的阶段，就刚刚就在差一点就到达到 prema 了。
But somehow or another, by the twist of fate,There was a deer who was crossing a river near to where he was meditating.
但是呢，就不知怎的，命运作怪。那么就有一次，当他在冥想的时候，就有一只鹿，他在跨过，他在过河。
And this deer was pregnant.
这一只鹿呢，恰好它怀孕了。
So after crossing the river, she gave birth.
所以他过河之后呢，他就生孩子了。
And almost immediately, a hunter came and shot her dead with an arrow.
恰好就在这个时候，一个猎人就过来，就把这个母鹿给杀死了。
So when Maharaj Bharat saw this, that there was this unprotected young fawn or deer, he immediately out of compassion, ran to get it and take care of it.
那么这个 Maharaj Bharat 看到这头无助的小鹿，他就出于一种慈悲之心，他马上就跑过去把这个小鹿给带了过来，开始照顾它。
So he protected the young deer, he fed it, he cleaned the deer, he did everything that a mother would normally do.
那么他就开始照顾或者保护这头小鹿，他就为它清洁啊，他做任何的事情，就像一个作为一个母，就像一个母亲怎么照顾自己的孩子，他就这么照顾这头小鹿。
He raised this young deer.
他就把这头小鹿抚养大了。
Now, of course, during all of this, Maharaj Bharat became attached to this deer.
那就在这个整个的过程当中呢，这个 Maharaj Bharat 就开始依附了这头小鹿。
And as he became attached, and developed love for this deer, soon after, he left his body.
当他这样不断不断地依附这头小鹿之后呢，那很快他就离开了躯体。
And because he was thinking of this young deer at the time of death, he took his next birth as a deer.
因为他在死亡的时候，心里就结果就想着这头小鹿，所以他下一世就投生成鹿。
So just see, even someone who is elevated, even to the platform of Baba, still can fall and become attached to even an animal and then take his next birth as that animal.
你就看看一个人他都已经达到 Baba 的阶段了，结果他开始依附一头动物，最后下辈子居然还变成了一头动物。
However, as a boon, because he had performed so many austerities and he had reached such a high level, in that next birth as a deer, he had remembrance of his past human birth, so that when he lived his life out as a deer, he was thinking for his next human birth, where he would be able to complete his process of self-realization.
但是呢，因为他在前一世他已经从事过那么多的苦修，他做过那么多的灵性的活动，所以他就得到这一个祝福。那么在他在这个鹿的身体里面，他能记起自己以前所有的一些事情。所以当他结束这条鹿的生命的时候，他就在想着下一世他要继续走完他自我觉悟之途。
So this is a very instructive story.
这是一个非常富有教育意义的故事。
It teaches us a very important point.
教给了我们很重要的一点。
That we have to be so careful.
就是我们要非常的小心。
To practice our Krishna consciousness and become absorbed, deeply absorbed, in the pastimes of Krishna, so we will be able to think of Krishna at the last moment and nothing else.
我们要非常小心地修习 Krishna 之觉，并且很深地专注于 Krishna 的逍遥时光。这样呢，当我们临终的时候，我们就能想到 Krishna， 而没有任何其他。
So Vasudev he continues here. He says, after meditating on how to save Devaki, Vasudev began to speak to Kamsa with great respect, although Kamsa was a very sinful man.
所以现在就继续这个 Vasudev 就开始，可以回到 Vasudev 这里。那么这个 Vasudev 就开始，深思了之后呢，虽然说 Kamsa 是一个如此罪恶的人。但他仍然带着巨大的尊敬跟他们所说话。
So sometimes it appears that a virtuous person like Vasudev has to flatter a violent person like Kamsa.
所以呢，有的时候我们看一个这么具有美德的人，就像 Vasudev 这样的人，他就得开始去奉请这个罪恶的 Kamsa 这样的人。
That is the art of diplomacy. That is the art of diplomacy.
这个就是他的外交政策的艺术。
So although Vasudev was he was deeply upset, he smiled outwardly.
虽然说 Vasudev 内心非常的难过，但他表面上还是满面笑容。
Vasudev said to Kamsa, "My dear brother-in-law, please understand that you have no danger from your sister."
瓦斯列夫就说，我亲爱的兄长啊，请你要明白，这个 Devaki 是你的妹妹，她对你没有任何的危险。
You are awaiting some danger because you heard a prophetic voice in the sky.
你现在觉得面对的危险是因为你听到天空出现了这样一个声音。
But danger is to come from the sons of your sister who are not present now.
但是这个危险是来自于你的妹妹的儿子，但这个儿子现在根本还不存在。
And who knows? There may or may not be sons in the future.
谁知道呢？以后有可能有，也有可能没有，根本就没有这样的儿子。
Considering all this, you are safe for the present.
所以你考虑一下这一点，那么你就知道现在你是安全的。
If there are any sons born of Devaki, I promise to present all of them to you for necessary action.
我答应你，如果这个 Devaki 生了任何的儿子，我就可以把他这个儿子交给你，作为一个恰当的反应。
Come Sanu, the value of Vasudeva's word of honor, and he was convinced by his argument.
那么 Come Sanu, 他知道这个 Vasudeva 是说话算数的。所以呢，他就被Vasudeva 的论点给说服了。
So for the time being, he refrained from the evil act of killing his sister.
所以呢，他暂时就没有去从事这个杀自己妹妹的这个罪恶行为。
Vasudeva was pleased and he praised the decision of Kamsa.
Vasudeva 对 Kamsa 的决定非常的高兴。
Then he returned home.
然后他就回到了家中。
Each year thereafter, Devaki gave birth to a child.
那么 Devaki 每一年都会生出一个孩子。
And she gave birth to 8 male children and 1 daughter.
她生了八个儿子，一个女儿。
And when the first son was born, Vasudeva kept his word and brought the child before Kamsa.
当第一个儿子出生的时候 ，Vasudeva 就遵守自己的承诺，把第一个儿子交给了 Kamsa。
But Kamsa became a little compassionate due to the behavior of Vasudeva.
但是呢 ，Kamsa 看到 Vasudeva 的行为呢，他就有点，他动了一点恻隐之心。
For a great soul like Vasudeva, there is nothing considered painful in discharging one's duty.
对于一个像 Vasudeva 这样伟大的人，伟大的灵魂来说，当他因为他在履行自己的责任，所以没有任何的痛苦。
A knowledgeable person like Vasudeva carries out his duties without hesitation.
一个像 Vasudeva 这样博学的人，他毫不犹豫地履行自己的职责。
On the other hand, a demon like Kamsa never hesitates in committing any hateful action.
而另外一方面，像 Kamsa 这样的恶魔呢，他却不毫不犹豫地去做任何的罪恶行为。
It is said.A saintly person can tolerate all kinds of miserable conditions of life.
据说一个圣人能够容忍任何的痛苦的处境。
A knowledgeable person can discharge his duties without awaiting favorable circumstances.
一个博学的人他不必等候一定要有顺利的情况才能履行自己的责任。
An evil person like Kamsa can act in any sinful way.
而一个像 Kamsa 这样罪恶的人，他能以任何罪恶的方式去行为。
And a devotee can sacrifice everything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
而一位奉献者却可以牺牲一切去取悦至尊人的所生。
Kamsa was satisfied by the action of Vasudeva and became compassionate upon him.
那么 Kamsa 呢对 Vasudeva 的行为感到满意，所以呢对他产生了一种怜悯之心。
Kamsa said, My dear Vasudeva, you need not present this child to me.
Kamsa 就说我亲爱的 Vasudeva, 你不需要把这个孩子交给我。
I am not in danger from this child.
这个孩子对我没有危险。
I have heard that the 8th child born of you and Devaki will kill me.
我已经听到了从你和 Devaki 生出来第八个儿子就会杀死我。
Why should I accept this child unnecessarily?
为什么要不必要的来接受这第一个儿子
？You can take him back.
你可以把他带回去。
So Vasudeva was returning home with his firstborn child.
所以呢 ，Vasudeva 就带着第一个生出的孩子回了家，回去了。
he was pleased by the behavior of Kamsa, but he could not believe in him because he knew that Kamsa was uncontrolled.
那他很被 Kamsa 的行为所取悦，但是呢，他也不没法相信 Kamsa， 因为他知道 Kamsa 的行为是毫不受控制。
We can see this. Kamsa's consciousness is going back and forth, back and forth.
因为我们可以看得出来 ，Kamsa 这个知觉其实是非常摇晃不定的。
Because ultimately he's a demon.
总体说来，他是个恶魔。
So Vasudeva says that an atheistic person cannot be firm in his word of honor.
所以呢，他说一个无神论者，他对自己的决心，他永远不会稳住自己的决心。
One who cannot control the senses cannot be steady in his determination.
一个无法控制自己感官的人，他的决心也不会坚定。
The great politician Chanaka Pandit said, "Never put your trust in a diplomat or in a woman."
一个伟大的政治家 Chanaka Pandit 说，他永远也不要去相信一个女人或者政治家，女人。
We should qualify this, that when it says not to put your trust in a woman, that he is speaking about materialistic women. He's not speaking about devotees.
当然我们应该恰当地说来，他这里讲的永远不要信任一个女人，这指的是不要信任一个物质的女人，并不指，不包括奉献者。
Advanced devotees are transcendental to their bodily condition.
一个进步的奉献者，他已经超越了这个躯体化概念。
Those who are addicted to unrestricted sense gratification can never be truthful, nor can they be trusted with any faith.
一个完全沉溺感官享乐的人，他永远也不会真诚，所以呢，我永远不值得信任。
So now, at this time, the great sage Narada came to meet Kamsa.
就在这个时候，这个伟大的圣人 Narada 就来找 Kamsa。
And according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Narada had nine reasons for which he came and spoke to Kamsa.
那这个Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur 就说，其实 Narada 来找 Kamsa 他有九个原因。
The first reason was.And Narada wanted to experience personal joy by seeing his Lord.
第一个原因呢，就是 Narada 他想要来体验一种亲眼见到他的亲爱的主的这种喜乐。
The second reason is he wanted to give joy to the demigods by provoking Kamsa to violence against the devotees and thereby rush the Lord's appearance.
第二个原因呢，他是想要取悦主的奉献者。因他如果去激怒了 Kamsa， 让他变得更加暴力的话，这会加速主本人的到来。
The third reason was to accomplish the killing of Kamsa for his violence to the devotees.
第三个原因呢，他这样就能够实现让 Kamsa 杀死奉献者的这个事情。
The fourth reason was to shower himself in the intense devotion of Vasudeva and Devaki.
下一个原因呢，就是说他要向 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 完全展示他的奉献。
The fifth reason was to get their blessings by delivering to them a confirmation of Krishna's appearance.
第五个原因呢，他是想要去取悦向他们确认主 Krishna 将会到来，将会显现。
The sixth reason was to increase their eagerness to see the Lord.
第六个原因呢，是要加速想要见到主的这种迫切之，加强见到主的迫切之心。
Seven, to drown them in an ocean of bliss by cutting down their doubts of whether the Lord would actually appear.
第七个原因呢，是要斩断他们的这个疑问，就到底主会不会到来的这个疑问。
Eight, to please Devaki and Vasudeva by making them blissful, even in those circumstances of suffering.
第八个原因呢，就是虽然说 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 他非常的痛苦，但是呢，他想要让他们快乐。
And finally, nine, to make Kamsa favorable to himself by presenting false friendship.
第九个原因呢，他是想让 Kamsa 对他变得友好，因为当然是通过这种虚假的说法，让他对他变得友好。
So Narada was informed of Kamsa's being compassionate to Vasudeva and returning his firstborn child.
那么 Narada 就听说了这个 Kamsa 对于这个因为 Vasudeva 把自己的第一个儿子交给了 Kamsa, 所以 Kamsa 对这个 Vasudeva 就起了怜悯之心。
At the same time, Narada was very eager to accelerate the descent of Lord Krishna as soon as possible.
但与此同时呢 ，Narada 他非常想要加速主 Krishna 赶快到来的这个过程。
He therefore informed Kamsa that in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj.
所以他就通知了这个Vrindavan 的 Nanda Maharaj。
All the other cowherd men and their wives.
所有的牧牛郎和他们的妻子。
Vasudev, his father Suryasen, and all his relatives born in the Yadu dynasty.
Vasudev 和他的父亲 Suryasen 以及他所有的这些臣民都出生在 Yadu 王朝。
Along with all their friends and well-wishers.
以及他们所有的朋友和祝福者。
All of them were actually demigods.
其实他们所有人都是半神人。
So Narada warned Kamsa to be careful of that.
所以呢 ，Narada 他就警告 Kamsa 要对他们小心了。
Because Kamsa and his friends and advisors were all demons.
因为 Kamsa 他的朋友和他这些顾问啊都是恶魔。
Demons are always afraid of demigods.
恶魔呢，他一直都是害怕半神人的。
So after being informed by Narada about the appearance of the demigods in different families, Kamsa at once became very much alarmed.
所以呢，当这个 Narada 告诉 Kamsa 这些Vasudeva 所有的家人都是半神人之后呢，让这个 Kamsa 突然就变得很警觉了。
He understood that since the demigods had already appeared, Lord Vishnu must be coming soon.
那他知道，既然所有的半神人都已经显现，那主本人肯定也会很快到了。
He at once arrested both his brother-in-law Vasudeva and Devaki and put them behind prison bars.
所以他就想马上把那个 Vasudeva 和他的妹妹 Devaki 关起来，抓起来，关进监狱。
So again, we see this demoniac nature of Kamsa so ingrained that now.He's again changed his position. He's imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki.
我们看这个恶魔的这个 Kamsa， 他这个脾气就是这么不稳定，所以他很快又改变了自己的地位，马上把这个 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 就关进了牢房。
Such is the nature of a demon.
这就是恶魔的本性。
You know, there's a saying that a leopard cannot change its spots. Yeah, a leopard is a big cat, and it has spots on its body.
一个大猫
Because of its body, has a light, like a whitish kind of coat of fur, but has black spots on it.
那个斑猫啊，它不会什么没法改变它身上的那个什么东西。
So a leopard cannot change those spots.
所以它是没法改变自己的这个身上的这个纹路的。
Or another example, maybe better, is like the tail of a dog. It's often curved.
还有个更好的例子，比如说这个狗的这个尾巴总是卷起来的。
And if you take that tail and you straighten it out, it may be straight for a moment, but as soon as you let it go, it goes boing, and it goes back into that curved position.
但如果你可能把这个狗的尾巴给拉直，但是它跟这个尾巴直了一会儿，然后一松手，这个尾巴一下又卷回去了。
So such is the nature of demons. They cannot change.
那这就是恶魔的本性，他们是没法改变的。
They have to think and act demonically.
他们的思想和行为都肯定是充满恶魔品质的。
So within the prison, shackled in iron chains, Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to a male child year after year.
所以呢，就在这个牢房里面滚的，身上都是缠着这个铁链。这个 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 每一年都会生孩子。
Kamsa, thinking each of the babies to be the incarnation of Vishnu, killed them one after another.
那 Kamsa 呢，就是心里想着每一个孩子都可能是主 Vishnu 本人。所以他就一个接一个把这所有的孩子都给杀了。
He was particularly afraid of the eighth child, but after the visit of Narada, he came to the conclusion that any child might be Krishna.
他本来尤其是害怕第八个孩子，但是自从 Narada 来了之后呢，他就把所有的孩子都给杀了，他就所有的孩子都害怕，以为他们都可能是主 Krishna 的人。
Therefore, it was better to kill all the babies who took birth from Devaki and Vasudeva.
所以呢，更好呢，还不如就把 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 生出来的所有的孩子都给杀了。
This action of Kamsa is not very difficult to understand.
Kamsa 的这个行为其实不难理解。
There are many instances in the history of the world of persons in the royal order who have killed their father, brother, or whole family and friends.For the satisfaction of their ambitions.
世界的历史上其实已经有无数个这样的例子了，也就是很多出身皇室家庭的人，为了能够满足自己的野心，都会杀死自己的亲人、自己的兄弟姐妹、挚友等等。
And there is nothing astonishing about this, for members of the demoniac greedy royal order can kill anyone for their nefarious ambitions.
所以呢，一个出身于皇室家庭的充满恶魔品性的人，他会为了满足自己的野心，杀死身边所有的亲人，这一点是毫不足奇的。
Kamsa was made aware of his previous birth by the grace of Narada.
因为 Narada 为你的仁慈 ，Kamsa 就意识到了自己的前世。
So Narada was pushing Kamsa, pushing him forward to act.
所以呢 ，Narada 就在推着 Kamsa 赶快行动。
So Kamsa learned that in his previous birth he had been a demon of the name Kalanimi and that he had been killed by Vishnu.
那 Kamsa 就知道他的前世是一个叫 Kalanimi 的这个恶魔，他是被主 Vishnu 所杀的。
Having now taken his birth in the Bhoja family, he decided to become the deadly enemy of the Yadu dynasty.
现在他因为已经投身于 Bhoja 这个家族，所以他就决定以亚杜王朝为敌。
Now, so Krishna was going to take birth in that family, and Kamsa was very afraid that he would be killed by Krishna.
但因为 Kamsa 将会显现在这个亚杜王朝的家族当中，所以呢 ，Kamsa 非常害怕 Krishna 会杀死他。
Just as he had been killed in his last birth.
就好像他的前世就是被他所杀一样。
So Kamsa first of all imprisoned his father Ugrasen.Because he was a chief king among the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andhika dynasties.
那这个 Kamsa 的父亲 Ugrasen 呢，他本来是这个亚杜王朝的国王。
He also occupied the kingdom of Surasen, Vasudeva's father.
而且呢，他也占据了这个 Vasudeva 的父亲 Surasen 的这个王位。
He declared himself the king of all such places.
他就宣称自己为这所有的地方的这些国的国王。
So he is acting just according to his nature, just as a demon.
所以说 Kamsa 就作为这个恶魔，他就完全按照自己的恶魔品性在行为，他是占据了恶魔的那个王位，等于
Okay, so now we have come to the end of the first chapter.
现在我们第一章就要结束了。
So we will.Also end this lecture.
那么我们今天的讲课也就到此结束了。
Because we have now spoken for just about 1 hour.
因为我们已经讲了大概一个小时了。
So again, I would like to thank Gopi Gita Mataji for translation.
再次感谢 Gopi Gita 的翻译。
Same day we had a better connection, so it was much easier.
好像我们的连接都好一些了，所以比上次容易多了。
And I also like to thank Shashi Gopal Charan Prabhu for facilitating all of this through the internet.
同样的，我要感谢沙希哥和乔仁宝布一直来给我们提供，通过这个网络给我们提供这个条件。
And I'd like to thank you all for listening.
并且感谢大家的聆听。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for wonderful. 我要听着之一，如果愿意聆听。非常感谢大家的热情参与和祝福，我们要特别感谢Gidharma Maharaj给我们带来了这么精彩这么甜美的讲课。今天的播音呢就结束了，欢迎大家下周在同样的时间收听这个课程。 Hare Krishna。